Jim Steins, My Journey. Written by Jim Steins with Warwick Green and read by Stanley McGay. The results of the biopsy are back. The lump that we removed was a malignant tumour. It is cancer, but at this time we are not sure which type. We've had several specialists examine it, but it is unclear what we're dealing with. As Graham had warned, I heard the word cancer, and not a lot more. I experienced an intense rush, like some kind of surreal adrenaline. It was as though my whole body had released a chemical that had just washed right up through me to my face, and I could barely move a muscle. My legs went like jelly, and there was no way I could have stood up. Now I understood why some people drop to the floor when they hear devastating news. It was weird. I had always wondered what it would be like to be told something so momentous and life-changing. I had asked people what it felt like, but I had never thought it would happen to me. Sam's instinct was to put her hand on my knee. My immediate thought was, well, at least it's not her. I had my face down in the palms of my hands as Graham explained that I would now need to undergo a series of scans to determine the precise nature of my condition. In the best case scenario, the cancerous growth had all been cut out. If that were the case, the scans would show nothing else, and the doctors would monitor me every few months to ensure there were no new problems. Graham asked if I needed a cup of tea or a drink of water. I don't know why, but I just started to laugh. Maybe his question was a trigger that started me thinking about how particular I was with food and drink, about what I put in my body. How dare this happen to me? I'm not sick or unhealthy. I never even get colds. Then it occurred to me that cancer is not choosy. Cancer is not rational. It doesn't make sense. In those split seconds, while Sam and Graham allowed me to absorb the news, my mind hurtled through the consequences, careering wildly from one thought to another. The thought of dying was incomprehensible, but a tiny, pragmatic part of me was raising the possibility, and it scared the crap out of me. My brain flashed up the reality of my two little kids growing up without their dad, and I determined that it simply could not happen. Through reach, I had met so many young people scarred by that reality. I wanted to watch my children grow into beautiful, unique adults. Then I thought about Sam sitting next to me. I wondered how she would be reacting and considered what it was going to mean for her. I composed myself, gave Sam's hand a squeeze, and willed myself to concentrate. Okay, where do we go from here, Doc? What do I need to do?